question bothering your brain that you think you know how to explain. You need a test. Yeah, think up a test.
Hello and welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. I'm Garrett Crow.
And I'm Michael Edward Miller.
Today we're testing claims, Mike, about brain training.
Brain training is about a $1 billion industry, according to a market research site, sharpbrains.com.
Lots of companies are making apps, they're making websites that supposedly make people smarter.
No matter why you want a better brain, Lumosity.com can help. It's like a personal trainer for your brain.
This is a commercial for Lumosity, a website with the motto, "Your brain, just brighter."
I did it to be quicker.
Just to stay sharp.
To remember people's names. To concentrate a little better.
And you play games on Lumosity.
Right, problem-solving games. Games where you match virtual cards, it's all online. And the games give feedback. Lumosity says these kind of mental exercises can, quote, enhance your brain's ability to recall facts, notice details, and process information, unquote.
So it's kind of like push-ups for your mind.
Yeah, yeah. As we've said, there's a lot of these programs. Besides Lumosity, there's CogniFit, Nintendo's Brain Age game, Mind Sparkle, Charge Your Brain HD, and I really like this title, Scientific Brain Training Pro.com.
Those are some fancy names.
They are.
Really, really. But the real question, though, is does this stuff work?
Well, we're going to put it to the test.
Are you sure that that thing is true? Or did someone just tell it to you? Come up with a test.
If you want to talk about the research behind brain training, a 2008 study is a pretty good place to start.
Okay.
In this study, students played a memory game. The more they played the game, the better they got at it.
Which you'd expect.
But, as a kind of a side effect, the students scored higher on an intelligence test, which you wouldn't expect. Basically, memory games seem to make these students smarter.
So this was news. Big news.
Yeah, huge news.
It got a lot of people extremely excited. People have been interested in the idea that we can train intelligence for as long as they've studied intelligence, well over a century.
That's Dr. David Z. Hambrick. He's a cognitive psychologist and a faculty member at Michigan State University. He says that 2008 study had the potential to shatter some old dogma.
Like, intelligence can't be changed ever, never.
Well, yeah, that's what people used to think. Then this study was published. It showed these dramatic results. He says the implied increase was 6 IQ points in 6 hours of training.
That's a large gain.
You could become a genius with that.
Well, right, exactly.
A researcher named Suzanne Yagi and some other researchers were behind that original study in 2008. It's called a pilot study. And recently, Dr. Hambrick and some other researchers tried to replicate that study.
So basically, Dr. Hambrick and his bunch did the whole study over again.
Right, because that's what you have to do in science. If one researcher does the study and gets amazing results, others have to do the same thing and get similar results.
The 2008 study could be a fluke.
Yeah, so that's why they tried to reproduce it. And
so we attempted to replicate it, and we could not replicate it. It did not replicate.
So what you're telling me, Mike, that the 2008 study was a fluke and that I can't exercise my brain, I can't become a mental muscle mass?
Well, maybe. Maybe not. Dr. Hambrick says another group of researchers also tried to reproduce the 2008 study, and they also failed to.
But that's not the end of it.
No, or that would be the end of this segment right now. What it means is scientists need to do some more research, and so that's what we're going to talk about, the further research that's going on.
More studies.
And the thing about these studies is scientists might argue about the details of each one, why there might be flaws, why there are different results.
Maybe the subject populations were different, and maybe it's the case that some people show these generalizable benefits and others do not.
Do you think that for most normal adults, intelligence is something that can be changed through things like brain training?
Well, I think it's, you know, I think it's possible, but the jury is very much still out on this.
More research is going on. The National Science Foundation, that's a federal agency, funded a $1 million research grant that involves students and a company called LearningRx.
And this study showed positive results.
Which is why we sent you to LearningRx.
Hey. The clear cards. Ready?
Okay, so you were at LearningRx when you recorded this. What were you seeing?
wasn't like a classroom.
Okay.
It was cubicles. Inside the cubicles were the students and the instructors.
And this was the Learning Rx at Hamilton Place.
Exactly. The Chattanooga one. Learning Rx is actually a national franchise with more than 80 locations all over the country.
And is that a metronome we're hearing right now?
That is a metronome. Keeps your rhythm.
So you're basically working to a beat at Learning Rx.
Exactly. You do these exercises, or some of them, to a beat. This is Michelle Hecker Davis, the executive director.
The trainer's actually putting out cards that have different shapes and different colors and different sizes on them. And the goal of the trainee is to match what she has by just visually memorizing the pattern.
Learning Rx is different from the websites and computer games because there's no computer involved.
No computers?
That's right. It's just you and an instructor.
Did Davis actually let you try this stuff?
Yeah, it's a little difficult to describe, but there were these words on a notepad. They said green, black, yellow.
And what, you had to read the words?
Yes.
Now, that doesn't sound hard.
Well, you weren't there. You weren't a part of it. Basically, the words didn't match the color, so I would be saying yellow, but it was written in green.
Ready? Go.
Blue. Yellow. Black. Yellow.
Blue.
And it got even harder when Davis threw numbers in the mix.
Ready? Go.
Blue. Yellow. Black.
Three.
I guess.
That's okay.
I don't do well with numbers. I don't do well with colors. I don't do well with words, only sometimes.
So how'd you do in kindergarten?
And what actually, that's a personal question. Don't ask that again.
Here, how about if I slow this down a little bit? Because, like I said, all of these, I'm really throwing you.
And what was the point of this exercise that you're doing right now?
Basically, to get better at multitasking.
Who are their students? Mostly what, kids, college students?
Younger students. More than 90% of the people they help are under 18.
We mentioned that the National Science Foundation has funded $1 million worth of research involving Learning Rx over a 4-year period. That research was done with middle school students, but then some of the other research was done with college students.
Dr. Oliver Hill, a professor of psychology at Virginia State University, conducted the research. He did one study in Virginia, he did another in Texas.
Dr. Hill gave students Learning Rx style brain training, then looked at how those students performed on standardized tests.
And that was the primary aim of our research, was to see if we could get any transfer to an application like their math ability or their language arts ability.
So he did these two studies, and he said both groups showed significant results. For example, improved working memory, the ability to juggle different pieces of information and mental tasks.
Which is one of the basic ideas behind a lot of the brain training. If you improve your working memory, you'll improve your intelligence in general.
Yeah. Although Dr. Hill did find some differences. In the Virginia study, students showed increased math performance, but in Texas, the students showed an increase in language arts performance.
Why exactly would one get better at math but the other at language?
I don't know. I was curious about that too. Oh, that's interesting. Do you have any idea why it would be different in Virginia than it would be in the Texas-Louisiana study?
Well, it could be a matter of the sample size here. The Texas study was a smaller sample. And so it's kind of like a signal-to-noise thing. With the larger your sample, the easier it is to pick up differences. And the smaller the sample, the more difficult it is.
I think it just gets back to what we were talking about earlier, that there are so many possible variables in these kinds of studies.
So it's exactly like we said earlier. More research needs to be done.
And ultimately, part of this may be just redefining what intelligence is, getting rid of the idea that intelligence boils down to one number, like an IQ score. Maybe there are different aspects of intelligence that can or can't be improved.
I think these days we're tending to focus on individual cognitive skills rather than talking broadly about intelligence, even though the term is still around. But I think the old model of, you know, one type of intelligence is kind of passe these days. And so we can focus on specific kinds of cognitive abilities, or sometimes they're called executive functions, you know, and even things that we don't normally associate with intelligence, like control functions, impulse control is one, is an integral part of cognitive skills.
No longer at the mercy of the reptile brain, we can change ourselves. Think of the possibilities.
Think of your brain as a newspaper. Think of all the information it can store, but it doesn't take
much room because it's folding up all the information it can store.
We see with the eyes, but we see with the brain as well. And seeing with the brain is often called imagination.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about brain training. We've been talking to experts about studies done in the last few years. I may have gotten smarter.
You may have. But there is something I want to point out right now.
Go ahead.
These studies we've been talking about, they all involve college students or high school students, middle school students. What about adults? People who aren't in school, who aren't trying to improve their grades. Is there anything brain training can do for adults?
Interesting that you bring that up, because when I visited LearningRx in Chattanooga, I talked to a guy named Dennis. He's an adult who was in a car accident. His mother told me about it.
He had a car accident and he was thrown 85 feet, landed on his head. So they had to remove part of the right frontal lobe.
Right.
So relearning everything has been the process over the last 5 years.
Dennis has memory problems, even with speech. However, he says LearningRx helped him.
It's helping out pretty good.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. He can say his first 20 presidents in order, frontward and backward. When, after his accident, we was told that he would never be able to do anything again.
Walk, talk, nothing.
Dr. Ken Gibson is the CEO and founder of LearningRx, and he says LearningRx has also helped people in the military with brain injuries.
Some of these people had some really high-level skills before they had the traumatic brain injury, and they're almost reduced to a 4 or 5 year old level mentally. If we come in and introduce what we're doing, we just rapidly move some of these people not only back to where they started at, but even beyond that.
Also, Dr. Gibson uses himself as an example.
Over a year ago, I had a E. coli infection that wiped out my memory. I woke up in the hospital and I had to be retold what the names of some of my grandchildren were. I went back to work and half the people, the 14 of the 15 people that work right around me, I could not remember their names. That's where I was. So for the first time in my life, I actually needed my own program in a significant way to get back to the point where I could function normally.
That's pretty interesting. But back to my original question, what about normal, healthy adults? Just normal people who want to play brain training games and get smarter. Can brain training help them?
You mean LearningRx or brain training in general?
Just brain training in general, the games we talked about at the start of the segment.
I have no clue.
Well, I did look into it a little bit because I was curious about that.
You sneak.
I found out that few studies have been done with normal, average adults, but I found one answer in the UK.
Another study.
A huge study. It turns out that the BBC did an experiment on this topic. This was a few years ago.
The BBC in
Europe?
Yeah,
the British Broadcasting Corporation. Seriously, it was for a TV show called Bang Goes the Theory.
This is Bang Goes the Theory. For the next 10 weeks, we're on a mission to get science out of the lab and into your living room.
Viewers were invited to try brain training.
To play at home, I
guess.
Yeah,
yes, viewers can play at home. This show set up a website where viewers could log in and play various brain training games. About 11,000 viewers took part, and these were people of all ages. The average age was actually 43. The experiment lasted for 6 weeks.
We devised a whole load of games involving skills like problem solving that exercise the frontal lobes, memory that stretch the temporal lobes, and maths that use the parietal lobes.
The viewers who participated were actually split into two basic groups. There was a treatment group, that is, the ones who played brain training games, and there was a control group, that is, people who played no games.
So what happened?
The control group, the ones who didn't play any games, did not get smarter.
Which you'd expect, since they weren't doing anything to get smarter. What about the other group?
Well, the group that was trying to get smarter by playing brain training games for 6 weeks, they actually didn't do so hot either.
Bummer.
Well, unfortunately, when we do the direct comparison between the brain trainers and the controls, the difference is statistically completely meaningless. There is no difference between them.
So that was a bust?
Yeah, basically. The control group and the treatment group showed about the same lack of improvement. According to this one study, online computer-based brain training games may be entertaining, but they don't do much of anything to improve your IQ.
11,000 people took part. That's a pretty huge sample size, I'd say.
Yes, it is. But then again, it is one study, and of course, that settles nothing. other researchers are picking apart this one study, like the fact that it was only 6 weeks, maybe that was too short to generate real effects.
Did you find any other studies done on average healthy adults?
No, studies like that are actually hard to come by. I talked about it with Dr. John Grohol. He's a psychologist. He founded a really popular mental health website called psychcentral.com, and he's written several articles about this.
The vast majority of the research done to date is based on, upon people who have pre-existing cognitive deficits and or memory problems. And it's difficult to generalize findings on that population to ordinary adults that are just trying to improve their memory.
Yeah, but so what?
What do you mean, so what?
Maybe brain training helps only people with problems or kids who need better grades. That's what you're saying.
No, not really. I'm just saying there aren't many brain training studies on average healthy adults.
So what?
Well, it's a problem.
It's like you're complaining that medicine only helps sick people. If someone doesn't need better grades or doesn't need to overcome a memory problem, why would he or she seek out brain training?
Why? Because of the TV commercials.
No matter why you want a better brain, Lumosity.com can help.
These are entrepreneurial companies, and they're looking to sell their services. So perhaps not unexpectedly, they're going to market things in such a way as to put themselves in the best light.
So a brain training company or website might claim they can help anybody, but the studies, again, generally involve this specific subset of the population, people with memory problems or students.
Is Dr. Grohol saying brain training definitely can't help average adults?
No, he's just skeptical about exaggerated marketing claims. But he seems open to the idea that brain training might help everyone. It's just too early in the research to make extraordinary claims.
You know, we have some preliminary results, some pilot study results that says, you know, maybe they can. Maybe they can be helpful. I just don't think the case is closed in terms of saying definitively this is going to be helpful to people who sign up for it. I just would be more measured in my response to saying that yes, it's starting to look like there might be some specific tools that can be helpful to people, but we're not really sure which ones and for which people.
One more thing Dr. Grohol says, before you sign up for some $15 a month brain training website, you might try a cheaper or even free option like just doing the crossword puzzle every day.
Anything that sort of taxes your mind to think through vocabulary or think through trivia, things like that. Researchers have found that, you know, these things can be helpful to even ordinary, everyday adults who don't have a specific deficit or college students.
So, Garrett, do you feel smarter now?
You know, we probably have to weigh my brain to
find out.
Oh,
that's easy. We just put you on a scale and weigh you, and then we take out your brain and weigh you again and calculate the difference.
We're out and about. I'm Gary Crow.
And I'm Mike Miller.
20 million volumes worth of information is inside the heads of every one of us. The brain is a very big place. It's a very small space.
Information in the form of energy streams in simultaneously through all of our sensory systems. In the form of energy.
Of the reptile brain, we can change ourselves. Think of the possibilities.